Well, you can open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. As we work our way through this book. And Philippians 1, this morning we're going to begin with verse number 8. Different places in the Bible we get to see specific prayers that people prayed. And that's a blessing. Not so that we can necessarily just memorize them to be repeated, rote memory every time we pray, but so they give us guidelines on how to pray. It's good to look at Bible prayers. And sometimes when we look at Bible prayers, we learn something. We learn how different our prayers are. Our prayers are often so different than the Bible prayers. And we're going to look this morning at Philippians 1, and we're going to see Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer for the Philippians. So Philippians 1, verses 8 through 11 this morning. The title is, "And this I pray," because Paul says those words in verse 9. He says, "And this I pray for you," and he lists a lot of things that he prays for. So what do we pray for when we pray for other people? How do we pray? Do we just pray for physical needs? We should pray for more than that. See, the Bible prayers go beyond the physical needs. The Bible prayers always target spiritual needs. And that should be true of us. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for physical needs. We should. Because God cares about that too. But if that's all we pray for, then we're not covering all the bases. We need to pray for spiritual needs too. So look at verse 8. Philippians 1, verse 8. Take a look. "For God is my record." There's your first line. God is my record. What does Paul mean here? He means God knew his heart. He said, God knows that what I'm about to say to you is from my heart. God is my record. You know, God knows everything about you. God knows what's true and what's false about you. And he knows when you are speaking the truth about yourself and when you're painting versus when you're painting a picture that's not really true. God knows. And Paul says, God's my record. God knows that what I'm about to say to you is the truth. And that should be true of us. We shouldn't say things if they're not true about ourselves. We shouldn't try to portray a picture of ourselves that's not accurate. Mm-hmm. Just be real. Amen. If you're not a certain thing, then don't say that you are or don't act like you are. Wow. Don't pretend. Paul's not pretending. Paul's saying, God is my record. He knows that what I'm about to say is true. What is Paul about to say? He says in verse 8, God is my record. How greatly I long after you. How greatly I long after you all. In the bowels of Jesus Christ. So the two blanks. How greatly I long after you. In the bowels of Jesus Christ. Let's take the word long. Alright, let's take that first word, long. That word means to greatly desire. He said, how I greatly desire you. To greatly desire something is when you long for something. And Paul said, I'm longing for you. Paul desired these folks. He loved the Philippian church. Paul loved this church. Remember, we talked a few weeks ago about how Paul started this church. How Paul is the one that began this church. And how it didn't start easily. It wasn't easy. But that church became a real blessing to Paul because they're the ones that gave to Paul. They're the ones that supported his ministry. And Paul says, I long after you. And he says, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That means in the mercies. The mercies of Christ. That's what it means. He says, I long after you all in the mercies of Jesus Christ. So here's a question for you. What do you long for? What is it that you desire in life? Some people desire money. Some people desire all kinds of possessions, and some people desire fame. Some people desire all the... Maybe some people desire a position of power. That's not what Paul desired. Paul said, I desire God's people. He says, I just want to be around God's people. He says, I love being with God's people. Do you enjoy being with God's people? If you are a Christian, if you know Christ is your Savior, you should enjoy being with God's people.
Amen.
All right? If you're a Christian, you shouldn't hate church. That's just a simple thing. And those two don't go, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I hate church. Yeah, I love God, but I hate Christians. That doesn't make sense. You see, that doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. So Paul says, I desire you. I like being with you, he says, and I desire you in the mercies of Christ. So that he started with that in verse 8. And then he goes to verse 9. He says, and this I pray. That's your next line. And this I pray. So what did Paul pray for these people? And this I pray. We should be people of prayer. And we should pray every day. It's not just a cliche. It's true for the Christian. We should be praying every day.
Amen.
We should be praying throughout the day. As the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Throughout the day. And Paul says, and this I pray in Philippians 1 verse 9. So we're now going to look at the different things that Paul prayed for. First thing that Paul prayed for this Philippians, in verse 9 of Philippians 1, he said, that your love may abound yet more and more. So there's your first line for that line. First blank for that line. That your love may abound yet more and more. Paul said, I'm praying for you, he says to the Philippians, and I'm praying that you love each other more and more every day. Wow. That's a bond. That's the bond which cannot be broken. The bond of love. And Paul says, I want you to love each other more and more. Abound, meaning to grow and grow. To leaps and bounds is the idea. So look at the quote underneath there. The primary aim of the Christian life. You know the answer. To love God and to love one's fellow man. That's it. I mean, those are the two basic ingredients for the Christian life. Love God and love each other. And let's look at the verse. You know it. Look at Matthew 22. Many of you can quote it from memory. And let's have somebody read for us Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. Matthew 22, 37 through 40.
Last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying...
Wait, is that Matthew 22?
Oh, I'm in
21. Yep, 22, verse 37. Okay, Sandy's got it.
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Jesus said it. These are the two greatest commandments of all, Jesus said. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Two main things. So, it's so important. Paul says, first and foremost, I'm praying for you, Philippian church, that you love each other more and more and more. We should be continually growing in our love for one another. That's the way it should be in a church. And we've said it so many times, and I believe it. Church is supposed to be like a family.
Amen.
It's supposed to be like a family. I believe that. I think that that's God's plan and will for a church. I don't think God meant church to be like an assembly line where, you know, people usher in, sit down, listen, don't talk to each other, and then usher out and go home. I don't think that's God's will for local church.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I believe God's will for the church is for the church to be like a family, where everybody knows each other, and everybody cares for each other, okay? It shouldn't just be where you just go in, sit down, like you're going to a theater, and you don't even know the person sitting next to you, and, oh, wasn't that a good message? Yep, all right, see you next week. Brother Tony.
Maybe choose this church. Amen. In 1983. J.O. Blooms gave me two churches to go to, one up in White Plains, because I lived in Yonkers at the time. When I walked in that church, I thought I was in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. I said, ah, no way. You know, I felt like a little ant in a gigantic cave.
Right.
I said, no, I got the wrong feeling right away, quick. I walked back out and ended up with Pastor Vickery. Of course, it was in a restaurant then, but...
That's good.
I need that family feeling.
Amen. I agree with you. So Paul prayed that. Paul says, I want you guys to love each other more and more. Look at Romans 13. Romans 13 and verse number 8. There's no perfect church in the world, by the way. But as the old saying goes, where love is thick, faults are thin. Love overcomes all those things. So there is no perfect church, but if it's a church that has love for the Lord and for each other, that's the main thing. You can overlook maybe the little problems that can arise, because there's no church that doesn't have problems. There's no church that won't have any maybe disagreements, where two people in the church might disagree about something. But if they love each other, guess what? They're not going to let that disagreement ruin their relationship in the Lord. See? Do all of us in this room agree about everything, on everything? No. Absolutely not. There's going to be issues maybe where we disagree with each other. You might think, well, it should be done this way. And then another person might say, no, I think it should be done this way. And we might disagree, but if we love each other, we're not going to let that divide us. We can still, at the end of the discussion, still say, all right, well, you know what? That you have your view, I have my view, but we can still be brothers in the Lord or sisters in the Lord or whatever it is, and we shake hands and still be good friends.
Amen.
That's the way it should be. And I believe that's the way it is here. Look at Romans 13:8. Let's have somebody read Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Anybody that would like to read that for us? Yes, sir. Go ahead. Thank you. Great verses of the Bible. Basically summarizes, you know, as you were reading there, you notice a lot of the Ten Commandments are mentioned. And then at the end it says, hey, if you love your neighbor, it takes care of it all. Because if you truly love your neighbor, you won't do those things to them. You won't do anything that would harm them. So very good verses. So Paul's first prayer request for this church, love, growing love. Second, back in Philippians 1, verse 9, the second part of it is not just love in general, but he's specific about it. He says, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. And then he says this phrase, in knowledge and in all judgment. So that's the next line for your paper. Knowledge. Knowledge. Notice the quote under here. That love that we're talking about here should be more than just sentimental. It's not just a happy-go-lucky love. It's not just a wishy-washy feeling where we accept everything. That's not love. Okay, love doesn't mean that we accept everything. Love doesn't mean that we tolerate everything, because God's Word says certain things ought not to be. And that applies to the church. If somebody is doing the wrong thing in the church, true love is we go to that person and say, hey, listen, you shouldn't be doing this. Love isn't just all embracing and saying, oh, it's okay. We accept everything and whatever. Notice, it has to be in knowledge and in judgment. That word judgment means discerning. It means being wise. Okay, so perception. So it needs to be knowledgeable and discerning, not just sentimental. So let's not mistake it. Some people get the wrong idea of love, and they think love means that we're supposed to accept everything. That's not true. The Bible says God is love, but that doesn't mean that God accepts everything, because the Bible also says that God is holy and righteous and a judge. Will not the judge of the earth do right? He always does what's right. And God does not accept sin. God does not condone sin. So, notice, true love is knowledgeable. We have the knowledge of the Bible. And it's discerning. It has judgment. And notice the quote also under here. It says, will Paul ask for wealth for them, or comfort, or freedom from trouble? Is that what Paul prayed for? Paul didn't pray. Did Paul say, I'm praying for you Philippians that God blesses you with all kinds of wealth and comfort? No. There's those out there in Christianity that believe it's God's will for everybody to be rich. Did you know that? They're called prosperity gospel people. There are people in Christianity, and they will tell you that it's God's will for every believer to be wealthy. I'm telling you right now that that's not in the Bible. All right? But there are those out there that believe that. A lot of them are on TV. Okay? Joel Osteen believes that. If you were to ask him, face to face, sir, is it God's will for every believer to be wealthy? He would say, absolutely. And he they also followed up by saying, if you're not, something's wrong with you. Wow. Now, see, Paul didn't pray that kind of prayer. Paul didn't say, I pray that you get wealthy and have all kinds of riches. That's not God's will for everybody. And Jesus himself wasn't wealthy. The Apostle Paul wasn't wealthy. To say that is just to be completely ignorant of the truths of the Bible.
Amen.
Okay, Adela?
Right. That kind of philosophy came from the Calvinism.
Okay.
The Protestants separate. Mm-hmm. Calvin believed that every Christian is supposed to be raised.
Yeah, there's nothing to understand. A lot of these philosophies. Right. And we, the Bible's so clear about that, Brother Tony.
Yes, people confuse that scripture where Jesus said, if you ask in my name, God will grant it to you.
Right.
If it's in God's will.
Right.
What you're asking for might be wrong.
Amen. You might be asking selfishly, right? And God doesn't, we shouldn't be praying that way. So it's interesting that Paul never prayed for the Philippians to be wealthy or to have all kinds of riches. He didn't pray for that, no. So he prayed rather that they would have love. You see? That's more important. And that they would have this knowledge and discernment. That's more important than wealth. That's the main thing. So that's the first. Secondly, we find it in verse number 10. Philippians 1 and verse number 10. Another important prayer request. He said that ye may approve things that are excellent. Philippians 1:10. So there's your next two blanks. That ye may approve things that are excellent. I think this should be the ministry philosophy for every ministry. I think this should be the philosophy for every ministry. To approve things that are excellent. I don't think that God's work should be one that settles for mediocre, second place type of whatever it is, presentations. Sometimes people get the idea, well, it's the local church, it's church ministry, so we'll just whip up whatever. It doesn't really matter. Is that the attitude we should have about church? No, our attitude about church should be, hey, this is for the Lord, so it should be excellent. It should be top notch. You don't throw something shabbily together and say, well, it's for the Lord, and we'll just whip something up the night before and hope it works out. That shouldn't be true of any church ministry. For some churches, that's how things are run sometimes. Hey, what are we doing next? I don't know. Who's in charge? I don't know. Well, what do we do? I don't know. And nobody knows what's going on. You ever feel that way? Listen, we all get into that sometimes. It shouldn't be that way in the church. It should be presented very well. It should be excellent. God's Word says it should be excellent. So what does the word approve mean? It means to test. We should test everything. We should test everything we do.
Amen.
We should test everything we read.
Amen.
We should test everything we watch.
Amen.
We should test everything we listen to. Everything should be tested. Tested by what? Tested by the Bible. Say, man, this show that I'm watching right now, is this right? No, it doesn't seem right. Okay, turn it off. This song that I'm listening to on the radio right now, is this right? I mean, am I even thinking about the words they're singing right now? Do I even think about what they're saying? This isn't right. Turn it off. Test everything. This movie that I'm watching right now, is this good? Is this something I should be watching as a Christian?
Amen.
We should test everything. You say, you know what? No, I'm not watching this. I'm not listening to this anymore. Test everything. Approve things that are excellent. It also, the word approve means to examine. Examine. Do we really examine what we do with our time? Do we really examine what we allow into our homes? Or is it just, yeah, it's okay. It's just entertainment. We're just having fun. Shouldn't we examine it? And see if it's something God wants us to be doing?
Amen.
Test it. Test it. Because we should be choosing, as it says in the verse, we shouldn't just be settling for anything. We should be choosing the things that are the best. Because that's what the word excellent means. It means of more value and better. You know, there's always choices in life, right? This or that. When it's this or that, we should choose that which is better, of more value. That which would please God.
Amen.
It should be that type of a choice. See, it says love, the quote underneath, love that is thus enlightened, when God enlightens us and shows us His will, it will enable us to discern the things that are more excellent in all realms of life. Some things are good, and others are better. Choose the things that are better. That should be true of our lives. Don't settle for anything that comes your way. Choose what's better. Be careful. That's what Paul prays for. Paul says, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying that you choose the best things in life.
Amen.
That's Philippians 1, verse 10. Let's look at another verse that kind of talks about this, 1 Corinthians 10. You can turn ahead, or rather back a few pages, 1 Corinthians 10. Turn back a few pages. And if somebody would read for us 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23.
All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not.
Now look at that verse. That verse is basically talking about things that aren't necessarily sinful. Okay? Not necessarily sinful. Paul says, you know, there's a lot of things I could do. And it's not a sin. Maybe certain hobbies or maybe certain recreational things that aren't necessarily bad. But he says, but you know what? Just because I can doesn't mean I should. He says, all things are lawful. You know, we're not talking about sinful things, obviously. But he says, you know, these things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Meaning, not everything is beneficial to you. And you ought to ask yourself, hey, my doing this activity, or my watching this, or listening to this, or reading, is this really healthy in my Christian life? Or is this just going to be a waste of 3 or 4 hours of my life that I'll never get back? You know, at the end, I say, man, I just wasted 3 hours of my life. Never get that time back. Do things that will help you as a Christian.
Amen.
There's so many things out there that will help you as a Christian. There's so many good books out there that can help you as a Christian, rather than wasting on things that have no benefit. You see? So, there's so many other things that can be a help. Paul says, I want to do the things that will help me as a Christian. We have a hard enough time, don't we? Battling the world, the flesh, and the devil every day.
Amen.
We have a hard enough time. Shouldn't we be seeking things that help us in the fight?
Amen.
Yes.
26. I have to God punish him. God punish myself. God don't punish him. It's time coming, I say. Right.
I agree with Carol. I agree with your wife, brother. Yeah, just because something bad happens doesn't mean that God is upset with us or anything. No, but. We have a hard enough time fighting every day. You know, we fight against the world, we fight against the flesh, we fight against the devil. We should be getting extra help, any extra help that we can get. Christian radio, Christian music, Christian books, Christian movies. Those are the things that help us. All right? Being with God's people. There's so many other things out there that just have no eternal value and they just don't really help us in the Christian life. So we need to seek those things. Again, I'm not saying that we can never have recreations or hobbies or anything, but but in balance. See, if any of those things begin to dominate our life, then it's a problem. And that's what the Bible would call, from Hebrews 12, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There are weights, things in life that aren't necessarily sinful, but they can weigh you down. They take up too much of your time. So be careful. Just test everything you do. That's what Paul is praying. Pray that for wisdom in everything you do. Saying, Lord, you know, is this something I should be doing? Invest more of your time on things that would matter. Okay? Then he goes in verse 10. He says, I pray for you that you would approve things that are excellent. And he prays for them in verse 10, that ye may be sincere. Sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. What does he mean by that? Well, your blank is the word sincere. That means pure. It literally means without hypocrisy. So, being pure and real, as we've said already, that you may be sincere and without offense, that means blameless. So that when people look at you as a Christian now, that you have a real testimony. Oh, you're different now. You're not the way you used to be. It should be that way. So, man, what happened to you? Well, I'm a Christian now, and God has changed my life. The Lord has changed my life. They will look at you and be puzzled, maybe, as to why you don't do the things that you used to do. But that's what it means, without offense. It means to be blameless, that you have a real testimony. Wow, you mean you don't say the things you used to say. You don't do the things you used to do. No, I don't. You have a good testimony. That's what it means when it says without offense. Look at Ephesians 5. Just turn back about a page. Ephesians 5, verse 27. This is God's will for the church. Let's have somebody read Ephesians 5, verse number 27. Adela, you have it?
Yes. That he might be sanctified, he declared a glorious church, no matter the spot or wreath or any such a thing, for they shall be holy and without a blemish.
That's what God wants for the church. He wants it to be pure. He wants His people to be living right kind of lives. That's God's will for the church. So He wants you to be pure and blameless. And then look at Jude 24. Jude, the last book of the Bible before the book of Revelation. Little book. Only one chapter. Right before the book of Revelation. Jude verse 24. Somebody that would read that for us. Jude 24. See, it's only God that can keep you from falling. And it's only God that will be able to present you faultless before His throne. So, that's what God wants. It doesn't mean that you're going to be sinlessly perfect. We all make mistakes. But you should, overall, you should have a good testimony where people know that you're a Christian. Blameless. That's what it means. Without offense. So, Paul prayed for them in that area. So far he said, I'm praying for your love one for another, that it keeps growing, and that it be discerning and wise. And he says, I'm praying that you choose the best things in your life, and I'm praying for your testimony. And then, lastly, in verse, back in Philippians 1, verse 11, the last part of his prayer, he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the last part of Paul's prayer was that you do good works for the Lord. That your life is filled with good fruit. That you're not just a pew warmer, if you will. But that you serve the Lord and do good things for the Lord. That's what Paul prayed. He said, I want you to be filled with good fruit. So let's look at a few verses about this. Let's just go to the John 15, 16 passage. Let's just look at that one. John chapter 15 and verse number 16, if somebody would read that for us. John 15, 16. And when you find it, if you'd like to start reading it for us. You got it, Brother Tony?
Yes. He has not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
Amen. And notice, like you said before, in the Father's name too, right? We have to ask it according to God's will and in his name. But the first part of the verse, Jesus says, I chose you. And he says, I've ordained you for what? To go and bring forth fruit.
Amen.
To bring forth fruit.
That's what I was talking about before. You ask for it to be in God's will, not your will.
Amen. That's right. It is allergy season again, isn't it? It is. Springtime is here. Although today feels more like fall or winter again, but it's that time of the year. Now, you think about this fruit. You know, what does it mean to bear fruit? Well, you know Galatians 5? Galatians 5 talks about the what? The fruit of the Spirit. And it lists all of them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are fruits. It also could mean our good works. You know, when we serve the Lord in the church in any way, that's like a tree bearing a piece of fruit.
Amen.
That's like an apple tree producing an apple. And you know, anytime you serve the Lord, it's like you are producing a fruit. And that's what God wants. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to bear fruit. He doesn't want Christians to be like a barren tree where somebody walks up to the tree and there's no fruit on it.
Amen.
Okay? He wants us to be fruitful. All right? Being where we can have something to give to others, whatever it is, whether it just be simple encouragement or helping each other, any type of fruit. Adela? Yes, the fig tree. Right.
I understood the tree supposed to have fruit when
he
went to get it.
Right.
But he
didn't get it. Right. The fig tree. Yes. Yeah. He said, henceforth thou shalt bear no fruit. Yes. And that of course was also a picture of Israel and all that. But it's true of our lives too. He doesn't want, you know, the Lord, when he comes to us or when he looks at us, we shouldn't be like that barren fig tree. We should be filled with fruits. And it comes from the Lord, as earlier in John talks about abiding in Him, right? For without me, you can do nothing. We're the branches. We're just supposed to be connected to the vine. And then the fruit will flow. And all of this closes with verse 11. Why did Paul pray for this? Did Paul pray for this, for them to have these fruits so that they could put plaques up on their walls and say, look at all the good things we've done?
Yeah.
Is it so that they could go to the local Baptist conferences and say, hey, look at us. We did this and this and this, and we're the best. No. That's not what it is. It's not a competition. It's not to see who can put the most trophies up. No, it's the last few words of verse 11. Unto the glory and praise of God.
Amen.
And all the glory goes back to God. And that's your last two blanks. It's not so we can toot our horns and say, hey man, check out what Community Baptist Church did in 2012. Aren't we great? No. Praise the Lord for whatever is accomplished here. All the glory goes to God anyway, because only God can bring forth the fruit. Right? The Bible says we sow and another man waters, but who gives the increase? God gives the increase, it says in 1 Corinthians. It says, you know, Paul said, hey, I may have planted and Apollos may have watered the seed, but God gives the increase. Any good thing that happens in this church is because God allowed it to happen. That's it. It's not because of us. It's not because of all the... Now, we're called to do our part. If we just sit and do nothing, you can't expect God's blessing. I mean, if you don't sow the seed or water the seed, you don't expect anything to grow.
Amen.
So we're supposed to be out sowing the seed, and we do that different ways. Nursing home, tract ministry, whatever. We sow the seed, and we water seeds when we teach the Word of God and preach. We water the seeds, but only God can give the increase. Only God can make the tree grow or make the seed sprout. Only God can do that.
Amen.
So we do our part. But if something good happens, it's not because of us. Yeah, you know, it's because I planted those seeds so good. That's why something grew. I'm such a good planter. Oh, it's because I watered them so well. You know, I'm such a good waterer. No, it's because God allowed it to grow. We're just tools in His hand. That's all we are. We're just tools in the toolbox. God picks up the tools and uses them.
Amen.
We're just supposed to be available. Say, Lord, here am I. I'm ready to be used by You if You so choose to use me. If not, all right. Maybe God wants to use the other tool today. Maybe He doesn't want to use you today. He wants to use someone else. Whatever it is, but Lord, I'm here if You want to use me. And that's what the Bible teaches. We'll close with one more verse. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Last verse for today. If somebody would read 1 Corinthians 10:31. Familiar verse of the Bible. It should be true of all of our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it for God.
Amen.
And you know what a prayer? Paul said at the top of this paper, and this I pray. And boy, he did not pray for the things that we probably would have prayed for. You know, if it was our prayer list, all right, Philippians, we're praying for you. We pray that you get a nice building. We pray that you get good offerings. Pray that everybody stays healthy and that you have a great, wonderful life. Paul didn't pray for any of that. He said, I pray for your love for one another, that it be knowledgeable, discerning, that you choose the best things, that you have a good testimony, and that you have good fruits in your life, so that God gets all the glory. What a different prayer. And you know what? We need to pray more like Paul, I think, when we're praying for our church and other churches. The last one, praise and glory. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank You so much for Your Word and all that we're able to learn from it. Help us to pray like Paul did. Lord, may our church be a church that loves one another. May our church have knowledge and discernment. And may our church choose the best things. And may we do our best for You. And Lord, may we bring forth good fruits for You, for Your glory. And may each one of us have a good testimony for You. Help us to have these prayers answered in our church. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.